It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister. How are you this morning?
Morena. I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, obviously, I think first off the bat, we better talk about COVID. It's been a rough couple of weeks for the Trans-Tasman bubble, and we had a very lucky break in Wellington. There has been some criticism that the New Zealand government should have moved faster to close the bubble when we saw case numbers start to rise in New South Wales. Will the government be looking to change the threshold for halting travel, as we've seen suggested by some epidemiologists, should be happening, given the increased risks around the Delta variant?
Well, I think that when we've made decisions, I absolutely believe they've been the right decisions at the right time. You know, if we were to have stopped the traveller that we had who came into Wellington on that occasion, we would have had to have stopped paused travel very, very early on at a time when Sydney at that point had identified the source of the case. They had isolated all those around them. Cases that were coming out of that were all linked. So at that time, there was, based on the framework we established, there was no real cause to. As soon as Sydney had cases that they couldn't link, we shut down. And I absolutely stand by that decision. You'll also see, though, that once we saw that issue with Northern Territory, where we had minors that might have been exposed and that they may have travelled, then we just shut everything down. And so, again, we constantly assess based on risk and based on our appetite for risk, not Australia's, and that's served us well.
The Delta variant does have some big differences to the kinds of COVID we've been dealing with here in New Zealand in the past, particularly the increased transmissibility of it is a big concern. Are you confident that our processes are strong enough to protect us as a country from this particular variant at this stage?
Yes, I am, because you'll recall that the same was said at the time of the Alpha variant. So on every occasion, we've built into our thinking what we know and what we're learning about variants in our response. Wellington's a good example of that. On that occasion, we treated more people as contacts than we ever have before. That was because we were taking a very, very cautious approach. Over 2,000 people had treated as requiring some obligation to either be in isolation or tested, and that is for one case. And so that demonstrates that we do adjust our settings depending on what we're learning.
Now, we're starting to see more and more discussion about how we're going to be living as a country and, you know, indeed globally as well, after vaccine has been rolled out, you know, across the population. Have you been thinking about the long-term effects of COVID on the way that people live? And also, what kind of changes do you think we need to start adjusting to as a society?
I think about that every day. And one of the reasons I think about it is because in the same way that when COVID first arrived, no country in the world had a set rule book that was based on exactly what the pandemic was going to do. And so we've had to each build our plans as we've gone along. New Zealand's taken a very particular approach. That's meant that unlike countries like the UK, who have a fairly extensive vaccine rollout, still though not complete, we haven't had the level of restrictions they have. They're only just reopening, for instance. Their nightclubs are only just lifting the restriction on not being able to have more than six people at their house. So we've had a period of normality. They're now making a decision that where they're at with their vaccine, they're going to lift all their restrictions, and they're warning they'll have up to 50,000 cases a day. So we'll see around the world, different countries take different approaches. Our strength has been always watching what other countries have done, learning from that, and doing what works for us, and we'll continue to do that. Just in terms of preparing for the future, though, our borders will be different for a long time, but that means they won't exactly be the same as they are now either. As we vaccinate, that opens up opportunities around the way our borders work, but they won't be exactly as they were before 2019.
And in terms of just like daily life, that's something that, you know, has obviously had to change since the start of the pandemic. Is that something that you're anticipating we need to start thinking about as a population going into the future? We've talked about mandatory mask wearing being something that might need to be rolled out. The government's been talking about that as an option. But in the long term, are these things that you think we need to start, I guess, addressing as parts of how we might be moving forward in a post-COVID is not the right term, but in this kind of post-immediate situation where we're in right now, stage of the pandemic?
We've always adjusted as we've gone along, but we've tried to do it in a way that where it makes good public health sense, but also where it factors in just human behaviour and the way we live. So for mask wearing, for instance, we're looking at that when we have heightened alert levels, not as a precautionary thing that we do every single day, because for us, part of our strategy has been really tight at the border so that we can live really normally the rest of the time. I think the thing that's going to make the biggest difference for us over the next 6 months, as we roll out our vaccine, that will reduce down the need for us to use those more extreme measures like lockdowns. And that's the thing that's going to make a big difference for New Zealanders, not having to use those hefty tools, but instead vaccine playing a role and things like contact tracing and isolation for contacts, rather than everyone having to take those extraordinary measures.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of these proposed changes to hate speech law in New Zealand and the reform around that. There has been some criticism from the media about the messaging around this law reform from the government. What exactly will these proposed changes do? What are they actually setting out to do?
Well, we've already got hate speech laws in New Zealand, but they apply to hate speech when it's applied to individuals based on race or ethnic grounds. And one of the things that the Royal Commission of Inquiry after March 15 recommended to us was that we include a wider group of individuals, including just those who experience hate speech for religious beliefs. And so we are asking the public whether they agree with that. And we're also asking whether or not it should be extended to other groups listed in the Human Rights Act. So based on hate speech, based on sexuality, based on other areas of discrimination, gender and so on. So that's the first thing we're asking the public. The second is the Royal Commission also suggested some wording changes just to modernise the language, because currently the current law uses words like with intent to excite hostility or ill will or bring into contempt or ridicule. And so they've proposed modernising the language. They also think it narrows the scope a bit, and we're also asking the public's view on that.
So is that different from just unkind speech, nasty speech, cruel speech?
Absolutely. And so that's where some of the debate, you know, I'm very quick to point out the threshold here is very high, and rightly so. It is not just about, sharing an opinion that someone doesn't like. It is what we would call extreme speech. And as I say, we've already got laws like that in New Zealand. They've been successful on very rare occasions.
Well, let's talk about one other massive bit of law reform while we're at it. This is the RMA, the Resource Management Act, which is 30 years of legislation that's going to be overhauled. It's pretty much universally across the political spectrum agreed that it needs to be changed. But this is going to take quite an effort to fix what we've got at the moment. How is the government going to ensure that treaty values and environmental protections will be upheld in the major revisions that are coming?
That's actually been a big part of the, you know, what I'd call foundation work that we've done over the last 3 years. So we didn't start this term. We started it last term. We had something called the Randerson Review, which helped do some of that thinking for us. And we've been working alongside those most greatly affected, so local government, iwi, to try and make sure that principles that were in the RMA originally, that we are meeting those expectations in our new version of the Resource Management Act. But at the same time, the whole idea here is that the RMA over time has become so complex, it hasn't necessarily been successful in always protecting the environment, and it's also in some cases held back some of the development we need to meet our needs, like our housing crisis. Our intent with this redraft is that, and redesign, is that we actually do a better job of protecting the environment whilst also acknowledging the development that we do need within those environmental limits.
Do you think that this is going to make a difference for our housing crisis, particularly around house prices and availability for our long-term housing here?
I do, but actually we're not waiting for this process to be complete in order to get on with that. There's two things that in the meantime in the planning space will make a big difference. One is that we've put in place a fast-track consenting process, and that has had a number of housing projects come through it, and the idea there is expediting housing need because of the crisis we're in, as well as some other projects alongside it. The other is the National Policy Statement on Urban Development. That places an obligation on councils to plan for future population growth and enable that growth and housing development to occur. So both of those things, alongside things like helping support councils with infrastructure costs, we're getting on with straight away.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next month. I hope you have a good one until then.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.